bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here tonight and ask God that you will come down and just open your word to us and bless us, Lord, in a special way. Lord, it'll be uplifting to your saints, Lord, and strengthening, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. Don't know whether it's going to be winter out there or not, does it? Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and a gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now if you turn with me to Psalm 62. Verse 1, to the chief musician Yehudan, a psalm of David. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, he is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul waiteth thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. You may be seated. Now, we know that in the scriptures that when they refer to a rock, they're referring to the revelation of God, a revelation. And also that he is the rock whereby we can hide him. And there was a song, I believe it was called In the Cleft of the Rock. And it was, but the rock, when God had, Brother Branham said, when God has been revealed to us, that is a rock. And it, that revelation, he said, becomes a rock. We're standing on that. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter what's going on this year, what happens this year, that's what we're resting on. Now, in Isaiah, it says, it has two things that it says here that are very contrast to one another. In the first verse, it says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has come upon you. The light is here. But then in the next verse, it says, gross darkness is upon this people. And we know that this world is in a very chaotic time. And there is a gross darkness on the face of the earth. There's a gross darkness upon the people. You try to talk, it seems like common sense is beginning to leave people. And I'm not trying to make this message political, but I think common sense left the liberals a long time ago. And you know, and a person, many of the people today, why you can't really talk and communicate to them about certain things because they got their mind set one way. And it's like I was reading in the news, you know, what Obama did concerning Israel. He backed out and let the UN take a vote, and that was concerning whether they would recognize the new settlements and that. And Obama pulled back from it before we had been a vote that kept that from happening, from them wanting to move the borders of Israel. But Obama's pulled back. I read in one place they said that that while he was trying to make his legacy, this is actually going to be the mark that people's going to remember him by, the one he doesn't really want to be remembered by. And this, but that's not just his opinion. That is a majority opinion of the population of the United States. You know, they said in this last election, the popular vote went to Hillary, but the electoral went to Trump. Well, that's because of the great population of liberals out on the West Coast. And, you know, California has more people in it just about than any state. And all of them, are of liberal thinking. I know it sounds like I'm preaching political, but I don't mean it to be that way. But what I'm saying is their ways of thinking and looking, and I'm not saying I agree with the other side. I stand with God is where I stand. And I don't know what is going to happen this coming year or the next 4 years, but I'm not worried about it either. There are people that are afraid right now and they're worried about what's going to happen. I'm not worried about what's going to happen, because I know one thing I'm looking forward to is leaving here. And the thing is, if it doesn't happen, if we don't leave here this year, well, then I'll just keep on working and just keep on working and laboring until he does come. I'm not going to be discouraged. But, you know, as I approach any new year, I look at, I want to see how far along the road am I. Have I got further than I was when the previous year? And I'd like to know that somehow there's been some growth. Now, that doesn't mean you hadn't had trials. It doesn't mean you ain't fell flat on your face during that year. But the thing is, many times you fall flat on your face, but when you get up, you've learned something. And I want to know if what I've learned has got me further along than what I was. Because my time on this earth is in his hands. And whatever that he has for me, whatever I must go through to prepare me, I'm willing to go through it. Whatever I got to face, I'm willing to face it. Whatever God's will is, however God wants, everything's in his hands. And I'm looking at things here at the beginning of the year and seeing what is going to take place and some issues that my family's been dealing with. And I don't know, but the thing is, I know I got it in God's hands. And he knows, and he knows what's best. God knows our hearts. That's one thing you must remember. God knows your heart. He knows the desire of your heart. And it don't matter if there's others that say things against you or about you or speak evil of you. God knows the truth. He knows the truth. He knows your heart. I learned many years ago, I learned that you can't convince somebody. If they got their mind set one way, you might as well let it go. If they got a certain opinion of you, don't even bother trying to change it. Just go on and leave them alone. It ain't worth it. You know, if their opinion of you is going to change, then let God do it. Because we sure in the world can't. And I've learned not to argue with people. You know, I don't like to argue and debate things. I I always say I don't really have the temperament for it, or the patience is what I really should say. I don't know if I have the patience for it. But what I do have patience for is for the way God's moving. However God is moving and however he's going to move this year, I am patiently waiting. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Not them that get ahead of the Lord. Not them that try to tell the Lord what to do. Sometimes people get impatient and they look and they say, well, I know it, we're at the end. And they try to make things happen themselves. We've seen it down through the years, different predictions that people would have and they would make up and they would line things together and say, well, it's going to be this year when he comes. I don't know what year. I've never professed to know what year. The Bible says we wouldn't know the day or the hour. That's where some people take it and say, well, maybe though we could know the year. I don't believe we know the time, period. I don't care how you want to break the time down. I believe that the Bible says he's going to come like a thief in the night, and he's going to steal us away. And, you know, people of the world, they're not going to see it happen. You're just going to be there, and then you're not going to be there. They're not going to see. I seen a picture years ago when I was just a little boy, and it was a picture supposedly of the rapture, and it had people just going up like this up toward a figure of the Lord Jesus, and graves were opening and cars had crashed and all this different stuff was down on the one. That's not how it's going to be. That's not how it's going to be. Because I like that song Brother Terry sings when he talks about heaven. He says it's not a million miles away. It's just another dimension. Amen. He said we'll speed up and it'll slow down and we'll be in that dimension. And I've got patience for however God wants to do it. And here's the thing. I'm not worried about whether God's going to let me know or not what's going on. Because whatever I need to know, God will let me know. And whatever I don't need to know, I don't want to sit around fretting and worrying about it. And there are things that happen that you know, from day to day, just your day-to-day lives, there's things you place in God's hands and you don't know how it's going to work out. But if you've got patience to wait, then you'll see God will work it out. And many times what I know myself, at times when I want to push ahead, when I look at it, it's because I'm wanting to take care of it myself. And a lot of times when that is, it's because of fear. It's because I'm wanting to get ahead of something. And that's just kind of something my nature I got to fight. And I don't like to be behind. I like to be one step ahead all the time. And I got to fight that and stay patient. And, but you know, one thing we can see, God has opened our eyes in this last day. And we're not here in this gross darkness, yet there's light shining to his people. And our eyes have been opened. And if we look around and see that there's so many people that you can see that their eyes had not been opened and they can't help it. And their eyes haven't been opened to it. But the thing I look at is the grace of God, to thank God that he in his mercy chose to open my eyes, chose to open your eyes. And if God could do that, then I believe we ought to be able to trust him with the future. If he's opened our eyes, then he's not going to keep anything hid from us. When it comes the right time, well, he'll let us know. And this new year, why we're trusting him for the future. You know, like I said, if he comes, then he comes. If he doesn't, we keep going on. We keep believing. Brother Branham talked in the message of Shalom, and he said that in this time of this gross darkness, he said, my message to the church is Shalom, peace. So, in other words, we, though the world may be in other chaos, we've got peace. Because whatever happened, everything that's going to happen in this world or with the world events and everything else, all of that, friends, is in God's hands. And I know there's different prophecy that has yet to be fulfilled. And it will be fulfilled. I know there are things that will have to be set in place. And because when this bride goes, the tribulation period sets in. And it's only got 3.5 years. So it ain't going to, I don't think tribulation is going to waste any time in getting started. So that is meeting when the bride goes. Well, that starts, well, things have got to be in place and put and ready for that. And I know that it's not my part to make sure they are in a certain way. That's all in God's hands. I don't have to worry about it. I'm not, I don't agree with their stance on Israel. I think they ought to leave Israel alone. But see, they got this argument whether Jerusalem belongs to the Jews or whether it belongs to the Muslims. And they both are putting claim on it. The thing is, I would say this, was David a Jew or a Muslim? Because that's how Jerusalem came to be. And so, but we know there's things that's even going to happen there in Israel. And they're preparing those things now. And I'm not worried. I don't like their stance on Israel and what they're looking and fixing to do, but I'm not worried about it neither. Because Israel, that's God's nation. That's his chosen nation. It's in his hands, and I'll tell you what, whatever they do to Israel, they're doing to God. And that's his people. Brother Branham spoke in the message of Shalom, and he talked about a symphony. And one that he used for reference was a Russian symphony. It was called Peter and the Wolf. And in a symphony, there's no talking. It's just music that is playing that's been wrote for the scenes that are being acted out. And as these things are being acted out and going through while the music is playing and the beat speeds up and it slows down according to what is going on in that symphony, in that drama that it's being played for. And I believe that God has a great symphony. And what we need to do is just get in rhythm with his symphony for this day. Now, we can look at what it was for a day gone by when it was other people were in the drama and acting it out, but those, their scenes have ended now. The scene of the prophet has ended now. But God's word's still going on. But now it's your and my part. What we're doing as the elect. And if we will just get in rhythm, Brother Bam said, with God's symphony, then we'll move as God moves. And he says in a symphony, sometimes he says the beat begins to change for certain scenes. And Brother Branham said, when the seals were open, he said, the beat of God's symphony changed. He said, when the third pull was displayed, he said,
the beat of the symphony changed. And he said, Revelations 10 and 7, when that seventh angel begins to sound his message, the mysteries of God will be finished. He said, that changed the beat in the rhythm. What it was, these different things being acted out. And each of us, we've got a part in this. So we need to, Brother Branham said, get into the rhythm. You know, if you are hearing a song that's being sung or hear one of the hymns that we're singing, if you'll really get into it, the song being a whole lot different than just saying words. Think about what the words are and what they mean to you. And you'll start to really get in the rhythm of that song. And that's the way we need to do with this, is the whole thing together is a rhythm, a symphony. And Brother Bram said, what we need to do is we need to march with the beat. Not get ahead, not fall behind, but march with the beat. And the thing is, Peter said one time when he was asked, will you go also? And Peter said, where can we go? For thou alone hast the words of life. In other words, you're the composer. You're the only one that knows this symphony. You're the only one that the composer knows it from the beginning to the end. We're somewhere in there. We don't even know how far along we are in it. So the thing is, we don't got to, here's the thing, we don't have to necessarily concentrate on how far along are we, how close are we to the end. All we got to concentrate on is stay in rhythm with God's symphony for this day. In other words, when God begins to bring things across the pulpit to line us in one way, or to give us correction in a way, or to give us some direction, then throughout this year, we need to be able to just get in rhythm with that. And to do that, we're going to have to die out to this flesh. And the thing about this flesh is, you don't get to just die out with it once and it's over, because you're living in it. So you got to continuously die out to the flesh. This old flesh man wants to raise up all the time. And many times when he wants to raise up is sometimes with indignation. Why, you talk to me that way? Look, just get in rhythm with it. Ain't nobody trying to offend you. Ain't nobody trying to talk to you in any way. Ain't nobody trying to make you mad. Ain't nobody against you. Ain't nobody trying to put you down. Ain't nobody trying to put your family down. We're just wanting to get in rhythm with God's symphony, because I want to get ready to leave here. And I know I can't leave without you. God sent me here in order to take this church in a rapture, and that's why I'm here, and I know I can't leave till you do. So I dedicate my time to God. I don't know what all the sermons will be coming this year. I don't have a book with 2017's sermons in it. I don't receive a book from a headquarters somewhere that tells me what to preach on a given day. I don't know who else will even be preaching here this year. I never schedule any meetings in the winter, because our weather is just always, you never know what it's going to do. Seems like you can't really plan much ahead, because, you know, it might be 70 one day and 30 and snow in the next, you know. And so I never planned anything in the wintertime, but we'll be having other meetings throughout this year as the year progresses. and having some of the ministers in, you know, that we, that's a blessing to the group, and the group enjoys having them, and they enjoy coming here. And but I don't know who all that'll be or when that'll be. I begin to think that Brother Jackie Benton, we've saw him on the field for the last time, I begin to think. He was getting up there in age, and he's had problems with his back and with his legs and things. And when you get up in age like that, why, you don't recover from things sometimes like you do when you're younger. I mean, here I am, 54, I'm thinking I don't recover very fast. But what if I was 84? So, but we, I'm looking forward to whatever God's got for us. And I'll tell you this, I went through a real rough patch last year. And I trust God that I pray I'll never have to go through it again. And if I do, why, I want to pass it better than I did the last time. And I didn't know all those things that I was going to be facing or what was going to happen last year. I went into last year saying I hoped it was going to be better than 2015, and it wasn't. It was worse. And but then again, it's all how you look at it, because it was in God's hand the whole time, and God worked something out to where it settled something once and for all. And I'm thankful for that. But Brother Ram says what we need to do is see what the scriptures say for this hour. What does it say for this hour? Now, how will we know that? As God anoints his ministry through over this pulpit, we'll begin to see what the scriptures are for our day. How many believes that? I believe that's what happens. I know with myself, and I believe with Brother Phil, that it's just as God lays the things on our hearts to speak, that's all we got to speak. And there's times when God will begin to lay something on our hearts, and as a minister, sometimes you get really excited about it. And you just, it seems like you just get a whole bunch of it laid on you at once, and you ain't got enough time to get it all out. And that's where we end up in these series and different things. But I believe that God, you know, in a symphony, that one that's up there conducting that, he's got sheet music in front of him, and he can read, and that's how he can look through it, and he can direct each instrument, each individual, on what they should play, how soft, how loud, what time, the beat, everything. And he's got sheet music for that. And Brother Branham said, we said, you're listening, you're watching your sheet to hold your hand in the symphony. He said, you got a sheet in your hand that will tell you these things when the changes of the music begins to make it act out. Then you see what the act is when you see God's Spirit fall upon people and do certain things. He said, you look back and see where it's at, see if it's that, if that's the thing for today. He said, they had sheet music in their hand when Jesus came of the symphony. And we've got it there, but the thing is, it's got to be revealed. And God reveals it as we go. He's the one that's conducting this. There's no preacher conducting it. No, it's Almighty God that's doing it. And there's not just one preacher that God's using. That's, I'll tell you this, that these people that believe that way, why, they've really got sold a bill of goods, I'll tell you that. When they believe God's only speaking through one man and everybody must hear that man. What, is he a prophet? I know there was only one major prophet to this age, I know that. There's always only one major prophet to every age. And Brother Branham says that man, he divides out to the ministry that's under him or to take what he said and break it down for the people. Not to tell you, well, he meant this over here, he meant that. No, just show you. The thing is, it's woven through there. It might be in the message of Shalom, might be in the message of God of this evil age, might be in the message of Satan's Eden, and there'll be a paragraph here and a paragraph there and a paragraph here, but God will take that and line them up, and as he's woven right through there, and all of a sudden you've got a message. That's the way he does it. Sometimes we go through things and we really want to ask why. Because we're human. And we want to ask, why is it, why do I got to face this like that? Why does it have to be me? Why does it have to be my family? God knows the rhythm. We don't. And God knows what we each have need of. He knows how the rhythm goes. Brother Ram said the woman at the well, the reason she was able to recognize it, and the priests and that down in the temple didn't, he says, because she was looking for a change in the symphony. She was looking for a change. She said, our fathers say to come to this mountain. Others say, go to Jerusalem. Where do you say that we should worship? See, she was looking for that change. And he told her, he said, the day has come when it'll neither be in the mountain nor in Jerusalem, but it'll be in spirit and in truth. She was looking for it. Nathanael, when Philip came to Nathanael, what? Sure, Philip tried to get to whet his appetite a little bit and try to entice him to come, but what really made Nathanael come? He was looking for a change in the way things were. He was looking for a change. He was a godly man. He believed in God. And here he is living in that time and under Roman rule and all these things. And he was looking, Brother Branham said, he was looking for a change. And when he came before Jesus, he realized, oh, here's a change in the symphony. He said, you got to be looking for it if you're going to see it. He said, if some people don't understand it, he said, they're not looking for it. They're not looking for the change. They just... To them, church is just a social gathering. To them, why, it don't matter which one you go to, just pick one. Yeah.
Come on.
Well, you just pick one. Maybe they'd leave, I had somebody tell me, said, well, maybe they'd be willing to leave your church and go somewhere else. And that, and I couldn't explain it to them. They wanted to know if we had anybody in our church that they could place Becca with. And I said, no. And they said, well, how do you know? Maybe they or somebody be willing to take her and leave your church and go church somewhere else. I couldn't explain that to them. I didn't even try. I don't think they liked my answer. I just kept telling them, no, there's not. And they said, well, we don't want you to eliminate nobody. I ain't, I said. But my point in all that is they don't understand. It ain't just go whenever you want. Go wherever you want. There's some people in the message that think that. Well, I've seen preachers seem like they was constantly packing up and going somewhere else to pastor. They never did settle down in any one place. But God was always leading them. I had Brother Dan Daisley tell me one time, he said, men like that, they wouldn't know the will of God if it slapped them in the face. And there's people like that. Well, God lead me to go over here. When they get to a certain church, why, it's just the best church there ever could be. Until something said kind of rubs them the wrong way, and then all of a sudden they start finding all the faults in that church. And then they say, we had some folks leave here one time, went up to Kentucky, and they said, well, there was too many problems in that church down there. That's why they left and went to Kentucky. Well, I was glad they's gone. People running around committing adultery in my church, I was glad they was gone. There went a lot of my troubles. You know, I spoke to the pastor up there. He asked me, I just told him the truth. Well, since you're asking me, I'm going to tell you. But I don't think he really paid attention. I guess, you know, sometimes people just want to give everybody a chance. But you know what? That couple, they're not even together today. They've got remarried. And the last I heard, she's got divorced again. And, you know, but they left here because we was all messed up. They just can't understand the symphony of God. They don't get it. They're just playing church is what they're doing. It's just, they're living in a fantasy. Some people think that what it's all about is gathering somewhere at somebody's house on a Sunday and just how many people can you pack in there and just have some fellowship. That nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you, be careful. Be careful of your fellowship, because sometimes you get some of them in there that, like what I was just talking about, and, you know, one rotten apple. you know, I've watched whenever somebody starts saying something against the church or against the pastor or whatever, oh, be careful. Somebody said some years ago, Jessica was talking about some kind of car, and they said, well, have your daddy get it. He's got money. He can afford it. He just got two new cars and a new house. Well, I didn't get it with their money. I can tell you that. I can tell you this, friends, I don't own one thing. I know you hear me say it. I don't own one thing I can't leave behind. There ain't nothing that means so much to me that I can't leave it behind. I'm wanting to get out of this world. But I got to live in it while I'm here. And, you know, everyone's got their thing they do to get peace in their life or to kind of get away a little bit. Some folks maybe have a routine of going out every Friday night. And, you know, you just kind of, you got something you do. We don't go to dance halls or beer joints and all this different place. But we got things that we do and things we enjoy. Maybe you got a hobby or something. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Maybe you go running or hiking or biking or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's not interfering with your walk with the Lord, it's perfectly fine. Because we need things sometimes to rest our mind in this crazy world that we're living in. This world, it's full of insanity. People are going insane. You hear the way some of them talk, it's just really got bad. Brother Branham said, when things come our way and we go through things, he said, what it is, he says, it's growing pains of God's grace. Growing pains of God's grace. And he said, sometimes we come to crossroads. Like he said, Daniel did one time. Everything was going fine for Daniel. He said, then he come to a crossroad where the king put an ultimatum down and then had to throw him in the lion's den. He come to a crossroads. He said, the Hebrew children said they come to a crossroad. They said, you either bow or we're throwing you in the furnace. Well, that was a crossroad. Which way are they going to go? Well, they chose to go the way of the furnace rather than to bow to some image other than their God. And we come to these crossroads. But Brother Branham said, God permits it. And he said, he allows them to laugh at you. He allows them to laugh and say, why you become a holy roller, or why you for having long hair, or what more. He said, just let them laugh. He said, that's a crossroad. That's proves something. Only the crossroad did for the children, Hebrew children. It loosed them from the bands that were on their feet and their legs. And he says, that's why hard trials sometimes comes our way. To loose us from things of the world that's trying to hold on. It looses us from bands. You know, look, Satan is constantly wanting to bind the people. He wants to bind you up where you don't feel like worshiping. He'll try to bind you up where you don't feel like coming to church. He's constantly trying to bind the people. But there's a word of God that's going out to set the people free. To loose those bands. And sometimes God will let you go through a trial just to break that thing. Sometimes he'll let you go through things to get you back on track where you need to be. He does, friends, look, I'm not exempt from these things. Brother Phil's not exempt from these things. We go through it just like you do. You think we don't never get corrected by God? Think again. We sure do. But Brother Branham said that's the purpose of these hard trials. He said sometimes God lets us have a little trial just to see what we'll do. He said, well, he already knows what we're going to do. Yeah, but he likes to watch it. He enjoys watching it. Well, let's see what they're going to do. I'm going to be proud of my son, my daughter. The Baron said, in Message Shalom said, God who made the promises in the last days, these things would happen that we see happen. If he promised a son and the son came, if he promised all these things that we see in the scripture and did it, let's get in the rhythm of it. The rhythm of what? The rhythm of the last days. That's where this symphony's at, I can tell you. We're in the last days. We're getting close. We're closer to the end than we were yesterday. Brother Branham said here, he said, and for the future, let's stand firm on the promise. God made it. It's up to God to see it through. I'm just following the rhythm. When it beats down the time and says, this is the end of William Branham on earth, then I'll go with the rhythm. Then I'll rise again with the rhythm. Hallelujah. That the one that beat it, beats it out, beats it in again. It's the rhythm of God. I'll raise him up in the last days. He that believeth on me has everlasting life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall never come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. He said, I'm following the beating of the word. Not the beating of my heart, but the beating of the word. No matter what it is, if my heart don't beat with the word, then my heart is wrong. He said, listen, when this full Bible has been thoroughly vindicated, then there'll be an eternal shalom, eternal peace, see? He come and said he was peace on earth, goodwill towards men, but the world didn't receive him. He was peace to everyone that come to him for peace, peace on earth, goodwill to men. He was peace at the new year beginning, new day of God, for why he was a vindicated light of that day. But there's more word to be vindicated. He's got to vindicate more word. And when the last word is vindicated, rather than death is swallowed up in victory and the dead in Christ shall rise, the millennium set in, it'll be one great peace, shalom. Let's lay up for that day, brother and sister, for that one great shalom. In the message of shalom, he said that was a New Year's message that he preached. And he said that was his message to the church in the time that we're living, when there's light but yet gross darkness. Says, my message to the church is shalom, peace. And I'll tell you, if we'll just realize that it's in God's hand, let it rest there. You know, sometimes we don't take everything to God in prayer. We only take certain things. Other things, we try to handle ourselves or go around and complain about it. What we need to do is put it in his hands. Talk to the Lord about it. Sometimes you say, well, I try to go talk to so-and-so about it and they don't seem to listen. And we go, don't go try to talk to them about it. Talk to the Lord about it. He's the one that's got control over every one of us. I love y'all with all my heart. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here. Sometimes I need a little time to get refreshed and, take a little vacation. And sometimes it takes me a little bit longer getting refreshed sometimes. But I don't know, Brother Branham, I don't know what the people thought about Brother Branham going out hunting all the time. And not just hunting in November and December when it's deer hunting over here in this part of the country. But man, he went all over the United States and the world hunting. And all their hunting seasons weren't all the same. And sometimes he'd be gone long enough that they'd have to set up camp a couple of times. What was it? He was getting refreshed. Say, well, you're not God's prophet. No, I'm not, but I'm a minister. And Brother Branham said, if you try to go like a rocket, he said, you're going to fall like one too. And so I just ask you, don't fault me for the times I need a little refreshing. But we're looking forward, friends. I'm looking forward to this year with you. And so God bless you. That was my New Year's message. Amen. God bless you, Brother Nate, if you'd come. Hallelujah.
Stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I claim His promise, He will supply. We'll walk together, the Lord and I.
Bye.